It's coming on Christmas. They're cutting down trees. They're putting up reindeer, singing songs of joy and peace. I wish I had a river I could skate away on.
LiveBand.com is Vancouver's community-driven concert calendar. New shows are added daily by the city's most active promoters, musicians, and by the driving force of the music scene, the fans. LiveBand.com's listings are different because they are integrated with profiles updated by bands and business owners as they promote upcoming events. Check out the archives to see how closely we've worked within the community to put on the shows you love. Visit LiveMusicVancouver.com for the latest independent and major label event listings. LiveBand.com, Vancouver's community-driven concert calendar.
How much do you know about bikes? Everything? Perfect. Nothing at all? Even better. At the UBC Bike Kitchen, you can use our space and tools to do your own bike maintenance, get one-on-one instruction on how to fix your bike yourself, or drop your bike off for us to repair. You can also buy a fully refurbished, guaranteed used bicycle, or a variety of new and used parts and accessories. The Bike Kitchen is UBC's nonprofit, student-owned, full-service bike shop. We're located in the basement of the Student Union Building. Just look for the stairwell on the north side of the sub across from Gage Towers, or search for the UBC Bike Kitchen on Facebook. Stop by the Bike Kitchen and then get riding.
Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts in the Main Street area at
Antisocial Skateboard Shop, Devil May Wear, Flaming Angels Boutique, Lucky's Comics, Neptune Records, Red Cat Records, the Regional Assembly of Text, RX Comics, Temple of the Modern Girl, and the Wallflower Modern Diner.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To learn more, come visit us in room 233 of the sub on UBC campus or check us out online at citr.ca.
Sexy and Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR.
Welcome to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. Or maybe you could be one of our podcast listeners if you're going to be listening to this later on. But however you've decided to spend the hour with us, we are very, very glad to have you. I've got one of my favorite guests on, and I'm very excited because tis the season upon us right now, and we are about to hit, after Black Friday, the American Thanksgiving. Here, you know, the Christmas lights are down. My birthday was last week, so now I can actually officially start thinking of Christmas. And Christmas, sometimes we think of things, apparently we have more sex at Christmas times, according to one survey I read, which I thought was really interesting, and more babies are conceived. And when they figure out when they were actually conceived, it's usually over the holidays, because sometimes we've got a little bit more time. So be careful when you're having your sex, if you're having hookups, that you are practicing safe sex, unless a child is something that you're looking for at this stage of life. And as well as that, we're also going to be chatting about meeting the parents, which can be really freaky, really scary, and could be really, really fun too, with all the craziness of the holiday season. It's a great time to connect, hook up, have sex, and fall in love. And if you're in love already, just getting through the holidays, it can be pretty amazing too, as much with all the stress. So joining me tonight is the fantastic, sexy divorce coach, Debbie Bergen, who is amazing and has lots to say, lots to share, and some really fantastic advice just in general. And I love having conversations with Debbie on the show. So Debbie, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. So the holiday seasons are pretty intense just in general. Sometimes
they're stressful.
They are, and it can be hard for people. There have been studies that there's higher suicide rates at that time. Sometimes people feel very isolated because there's those expectations that Christmas is going to be oh so amazing, and it can be hard.
And that's sad. Don't you just want to give those people just a great big hug? It's so sad. It hurts my heart to hear that.
I do. It makes me really, 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 really sad sometimes, which is why sometimes I think it's a really great opportunity sometimes to give back. Find a charity that you really, you know, want to get involved with, perhaps maybe soup kitchen or handing out Christmas stockings or something like that. That feels really good.
For sure.
Which you do get to hug those people then who sometimes are isolated. But sometimes those isolated people are the people that we see every day. Maybe they're in our office. Maybe they're people we see maybe on the bus, or we walk past them on our, you know, our way to Starbucks, etc. Because we don't know what their histories are.
Mm-hmm.
And for those people as well, just even just taking the time to make eye contact and smiling and just with kindness, even though that should spread out 365 days a year, by just being aware that we don't know what somebody's story is sometimes.
Well, exactly. It's like they say, everyone's got a story, right?
Mm-hmm. And unless they choose to share it with us, we don't know.
Mm-hmm. And if you ask them, you're a freak. You can't go digging into everyone's business.
That's true, but sometimes with the holiday season, because we're almost supposed to be happy and supposed to feel good and very jovial, sometimes it's a better opportunity to open up sometimes and not be so freaky, but just really watch the body language when you're doing it. Are they starting mm-hmm. to cross their arms? Are they starting to twist and look like they're doing the bit of the jiggle dance? If so, maybe they just don't want to talk to you, and that's okay too. At least that mm-hmm. way you know you've tried and you know, can move on to someone who might be a better fit.
True. Absolutely true.
But it is a really great opportunity to connect with people, especially with all the holiday season stuff. Sometimes even volunteering where maybe not just for hookups and sex, and not necessarily. And on that note, please check with the organization when you're looking through the code of conduct if you're actually allowed to date volunteers. So don't go into it because of the fact you're looking for a hookup, but because you genuinely want to connect with people who may, you know, want to be involved with a cause.
Do people actually volunteer looking for a hookup?
You'd be amazed, actually. I've had, you know, just from all the volunteer orientations I've done over the years, it's one of the reasons why code of conduct-wise we're very careful. And sometimes I have had volunteers ask me before they ask somebody out, and usually try and get a gauge for them whether they're a shark or not.
Right.
Yeah, just to make sure for protection.
Wow.
And I think other organizations may have a code of conduct as well, just to be careful and safe.
Wicked.
Yeah, but hopefully if you are volunteering for something, it's because you've got similar value systems to other people, and it's a charity that you like. So who knows, you may fall in love and find somebody you want to hook up with there too.
Mm-hmm. And you might.
It's and you might.
But you don't
want
to do it at Christmas time.
If so, just make sure you're having safe sex. That's all
I'll
say.
Yeah, true. True, I hear that.
And that's an interesting thing I actually wanted to bring up with the safe sex. A girlfriend and I were having a conversation about that the other day. where I can remember back in the, you know, the 80s, the early 90s, if somebody was having sex, it was just almost drilled into us in terms of whether it was through conversations where after 3 months to go for an STI check to make sure that somebody didn't have HIV or any other STIs. And from there, then you could consider like not using a condom. And sometimes people are really good about that. At other times, they're not. And from speaking to different organizations that work in terms of with sexual health, it's been really interesting where sometimes that's not so much the case now that HIV is where there are medications that can manage the disease where it's not necessarily a death sentence, but it can be manageable where people can live. I believe I saw a article yesterday where people can live into like their 60s and 70s as long as they're taking their meds properly, etc.
Right.
And because of that, people aren't necessarily practicing safe sex anymore as much as they should.
And that is scary.
It is. It is. There was another article in the paper just about not to freak everybody else because I want to encourage people to connect and have that, but just make sure you take care of yourself, take care of the people that you're having sex with as well. So make sure you get tested for things. Make sure that you're having those crucial conversations before you indulge. And not do in bed, which can be pretty bad.
Yeah.
If there wasn't an...
Do you hear me trying not to comment too much?
I would love to hear your comments because I'm very curious and you always have great things to say.
You know what? You have to be mindful of what happens after, right? Or what could happen after. I mean, some people get swept up in the heat of the moment or whatever and, you know, I'm not saying it's me. I'm saying I've heard. I've spoken with friends who have, you know, have been concerned about, you know, the fact that they've gotten swept up in the moment and, uh-oh, regardless of what that is, whether they think they're pregnant or they think they might have something, it's just like, you know what? Is it worth it? Not really.
No.
Not really. Not at all. I mean, you never know.
It's so true.
You never know.
And with that, as according to that study that just came out, there's 25% of people that they're engaging that have HIV that may not know as well.
So that's scary.
And they may tell you that they don't, you know, oh, I'm fine. But again, they may not know themselves. So it may not be it's not intentional.
Right.
But by taking control, it's you save yourself heartache and worry.
Oh, for sure.
And by all means, if your New Year's resolution is to plan and have a baby, that's a totally different story. Just make sure you let your partner know.
Yeah, you know about me and babies.
We have had this conversation before, but let's share for those listeners who may be tuning in tonight who may not be as familiar.
Well, I just think, you know what? It's like if you're young, I mean, you know, we've spoken about this.
We have.
That's your plan if you're that age or whatever. Like I am not, you know, my kids are grown. So babies are not in my planning at all. Not in my planning, not in my accidents, not in my nothing. Not interested in having any more children. I love the ones I have. I would step in front of a stray bullet for any one of them, but I'm done.
And I think that's a conversation that needs to happen. Like, again, not in bed, but it's those ones, and it doesn't have to be a really intense conversation. It can be pretty casual over coffee, et cetera, or a glass of wine before it goes to the bedroom. And again, making sure safe sex, making sure your protection, condoms, et cetera, have those conversations just to be safe.
For sure. You know what, though? Don't you think that maybe having that conversation, hey, we're going to have a glass of wine and then maybe we're going to have sex, but let's talk about the possibility of having babies before we actually hit the bedroom, kind of a mood killer.
It is a mood killer. It can be, but it's probably better to have that as opposed to having that conversation afterwards.
Oh, for sure. I think to have that conversation when you're not actually planning to,
let's
have the conversation and then let's drop the clothes on the way to the bedroom. Get to the bed. It's probably a lot easier to know that before you get to that point.
That's true. Although sometimes because of passion, we do forget, even though, as we were saying at the beginning of this conversation, it's important to be really cognizant of safety first, communication
for sure.
as well. But sometimes we do forget.
We're talking about in an ideal world, right?
Yes.
And
we're human.
Just so not ideal. And I mean, so many things are based on pure common sense. And honest to God, common sense is not common at all.
No, not when hormones rise.
Not at all. And you know what? Hormones make it worse. When the hormones, some people are just plain old dum-dums when it comes to that stuff. They don't think about it. And they play like they don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the fact, it's like, guess what? I think I'm really, come on. You didn't think about this before?
It's so true. We're going to take a really quick short break, and when we come back, we're going to be chatting more. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be right back.
Want to know what's up at UBC? Read the UBC. It's only the largest student newspaper in Western Canada, and it's written and edited entirely by UBC students. The UBC is your source for on-campus news, culture, and sports. New editions come out every Monday and Thursday. For breaking news as well as amazing videos and blogs, check out ubc.ca. Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts in the Commercial Drive area at
Audio Pile, Bone Rattle Music, High Life Records, and the People's Co-op Bookstore.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To learn more, come visit us in room 233 of the sub on UBC campus or check us out online at citr.ca.
Brace yourselves, Vancouver. The heavy metal juggernauts are coming to a venue near you. On the 16th of December, High on Fire will light up the stage for the 2012 tour with featured acts Goat Whore and Lo Pan and Ancients. They will all hit the stage guns blazing with enough destructive force to make you believe the world is coming to an end. Doors open at 8 p.m. at the venue on Granville Street. Tickets are $20 in advance, and you can get them hot online at Ticketmaster, UnionEvents.com, or at Zulu and Scrape Records. The apocalypse is happening now, people. Let High on Fire's music take us out. Brought to you by Union Events and Periscope. Are you a current UBC grad student? If so, then listen up, because the Graduate Student Society lets UBC grads book rooms and spaces in the newly renovated grad student building. Be sure to take advantage of what the facility has to offer. The rooms come equipped with sound systems and can host up to 300 people. Even better, as grad students, you don't have to pay booking fees. Not a grad? Don't worry. The Tia Corner House is open to the public, as in the Kerner Pub, opening earlier next year. For more information, contact booking manager Rob at bookings@gss.ubc.ca.
And we are back in Sexy in Van City Radio, 101.9 FM on CITR. And if you're just joining us, we're talking about sex, we're talking about hookups, and we're talking about the holiday season, whether it be Christmas, Hanukkah, whatever you celebrate. And I've got the sexy, the wonderful, the Joy of X author, Debbie Bergen, on the show. Debbie, welcome back to the show.
I want to be on this show every night. I love that intro. The sexy, the glamorous, the wonderful Debbie Bergen. I could just see the fans blowing my hair back.
We definitely need to get a webcam in for that. That could be pretty amazing. So, because I can visualize that. And you are truly amazing and awesome. I don't even have to visualize it. I know it.
I love you, man. I love this. Thank you.
So if people are just joining us right now, we are in the first chunk of the show. We are talking about, in terms of hookups, etc., having those crucial conversations before it gets to it, be a buzz killer, a mood killer, but they do need to be had, not when you're in the midst of everything, just stopping and starting. And it's not to say that you can't change your mind about having sex with somebody at any time. It's just, it's better if you're going to have those crucial conversations about birth control, about babies. It's probably best not to have that right then and there. It's great to have them, but not
in bed and not having your wine before bed, not when you're doing the seduction dance.
Exactly. Because you're not in your right mind then.
No, passion is just going full tilt, so it's really hard to have those crucial conversations then.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of that, it can be really fun where you can do the flirts and do the hookups as well from texting through the day, which can be kind of hot. Just be really careful if it's a new hookup, if you're sending photos. Just make sure they don't have anything identifiable about yourself.
Absolutely.
Just to be careful. And if anybody is listening who is under 19, just be careful too, because that could be considered child pornography as well if you're underage. So just be really careful with that if anybody's listening who is underage. Just because you never know what somebody can do with that later on if things don't work out the way you expect. So just try and make sure you don't send anything that has anything that's really identifiable about you.
Mm-hmm. And if you're under 19, don't lie about your age.
Yes, very much so. That's huge.
Some poor guy going to jail because you lied and said that you were of age, and how is he supposed to know?
Mm-hmm. No, that's a really valid point, especially with the guys, just to make sure that they are safe. And ladies as well, just making sure as well that you are taking care of yourself. If you are meeting somebody who's a hookup, who you're meeting for a first time, please let somebody know where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
Try not to be too secretive about it. Even if it's with roommates, leaving that person's cell phone number, their contact, say you met them on something like Plenty of Fish or Adult Friend Finder or something like that. Just this is what their on-screen name is, etc. This is where I'm meeting them. Meet them in a public place first and foremost. And just make sure somebody's seen you. They know where you are, etc. It's just for your own safety's sake.
For sure.
Because you can have fun, but just make sure you do it safely.
Good point. Very good. Because, I mean, people don't think about that. They don't. They think, oh, you know what? What could happen? But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's, you know, even if I'm going on a blind date that someone, like a friend, introduced me to,
mm-hmm.
I always leave that person's information with someone who knows me.
That's so key. Because
you never know.
No, and especially in this day and age, and it's important. And because what if something did happen? And not that we want to think about this. And guys who are listening out there, I'm going to encourage you as well. Regardless of what your sexuality is, it's really important too, because there have been, especially in BC, a series of missing men as well. Whether or not it's been sexually related or not. It's just really important because it's not just women who disappear, men do too. And it's really key to make sure safety on all levels.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. But in terms of holiday season with that, if you are going to parties, as we all, many of us are during the season, making sure we're drinking, I'm just going to throw out a few safety tips. One, just making sure you don't put your drink down. That you kind of have your drink at all times. If somebody's getting a drink for you, that you're going with them. To make sure, just you never know in terms of things like GHB, etc., any date rape potential drugs. Make sure that you have somebody with you, which is really good for networking too. If you're going to connect with people at a networking event, etc., or some a business party, etc., that you have somebody who is watching you and just checking in. So, say your body language is uncomfortable, so they can come and rescue you from somebody who may not be completely comfortable conversations. But as well as that, if in terms of safety things, that they think something may, you've gone missing for a little bit and they may want to check the bathrooms, etc., to make sure you're okay. And on that note, if you do hook up with somebody and you're leaving, please let your friend know.
Oh, God. You know what? Girls are actually really good about sticking together.
Mm.
But guys always take off on each other. What is that?
I don't know if it's the individual caveman thing or not. But again, guys, if you're listening, I really encourage you to let your friends know. And it's not gossip. It's just let them know, because in case something happens to you, that it's just basically taking care of each other.
Oh, well, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I was like doing the club. Okay, I'm too old for that now. But when I was doing the club with my friends, you know, as a, you know, in my late teens or whatever, we all got there together and we all left together. There was no straggling. But now it's crazy.
It is.
It's like, where's so-and-so? I hear a girl say, where's so-and-so? What do you mean, where's so-and-so? Did she not come with you? Do you not all leave together? No, I think she left with some guy. I don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it.
And that can be really, really scary. And sometimes we don't think, and especially if there's alcohol involved as well. And again, sometimes having a friend who can kind of check in with you. And I don't mean as a cock blocker, because in case somebody gets jealous or something like that. But I mean, like, honestly, we're all of a sudden maybe with alcohol, just where it kind of fuzzes and makes us see things a little differently sometimes, where perhaps having sex without a condom may be a really fun thing, because wouldn't that be great to have a baby? You know, yeah, that person's great looking, and, you know, genetically, it'd be really wonderful. And sometimes those thoughts pop, and just to protect ourselves. So when we wake up first thing in the morning after the beer goggles are gone, and we're actually being able to see the full picture, and slightly discolored and a little bit darker because of if we're hungover or something like that, may not be so cool. So that may not seem like such a great idea as it did at the time. Whereas if you're in a relationship, please have those conversations beforehand, before deciding to have a baby and throwing the your contraceptives out. I hope that's not a Freudian slip that I'm having difficulty with that word.
I was just going to say, that's too close.
And the other thing that does happen a lot in the holiday season is family dynamics, where sometimes many of us have blended families, where we've got an ex, we're perhaps sharing if there's custody with an ex. Other things that come up as well is perhaps having a new person that we're connecting with and connecting them with our family, where it really is meet the parents. And we don't really want it like the De Niro movie. We want it to kind of have it where it's actually not a freaky thing, but it can be a scary thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to say, in terms of if you are connecting with family and bringing somebody home to meet them, I think whoever is bringing the person home should try and give as much heads up as possible. And sometimes we can't see things because it's our own family. But for example, even in basic things like, do you think that we're going to be sharing a room? How do we feel about having sex, and with the parents, actually having those discussions beforehand, so it makes it as unawkward as possible. You know, checking in terms if there's certain culture things, like, is there any allergies if you're bringing, say, a box of chocolates or something like that? Like, is there somebody in the house that has a nut allergy, or, you know, just basic etiquette things. And certain cultures celebrate things differently.
You know what, I think if you can help it, Christmas is probably one of the worst times to introduce a semi-significant other to the family for the first time.
That's true. Although sometimes people do, because especially if they're traveling out of town.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately it does happen, because sometimes people get a larger chunk of time together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have that issue, thank God.
Yay! You're lucky.
Woohoo. I mean, There's a lot to be said for, you know, spending time with the family, especially at Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to almost be on your guard when you introduce a new somebody, like a new significant other, to your family at that time of the year.
Mm.
Right? To me, it would almost feel like babysitting.
Yes.
You want to make sure that person doesn't feel out of place, make sure someone in the family doesn't offend them, make sure, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's hard. I mean, sometimes it's unavoidable. But it's difficult.
It is very difficult. Any choice in tips besides, like, because I agree with you, if we didn't have to be that time of year where maybe it's a shorter time period, like maybe over Thanksgiving or something like that, and ideally preferably something that's not a holiday. But,
well, you know what? Mm. If you don't know that person at Thanksgiving, you probably shouldn't be bringing them home for Christmas. Right?
Although sometimes there are whirlwind things, so.
Mm-mm, that's only a month. You don't even know that person well enough to know that they're not going to offend your family. Right? And if you met them after Thanksgiving and you bring them home for Christmas, you deserve whatever you get. Right? Seriously? Would you be comfortable bringing home someone that you met in November for Christmas in December?
I actually have done it. And
did it turn out well?
It actually did, surprisingly. I've done that with my partner now and one of my exes as well. Where
I'd be too afraid.
Really? Okay.
I don't know why. I'd just be like, you know what? I just don't want to babysit. I feel like I'd be babysitting.
I can see that too. But then again, my family lives in town, so it's only a one-nighter kind of thing.
Case. See, my family's in Winnipeg.
Okay.
Right? I have a brother here, but the rest of my family's in Winnipeg. My mom is in Winnipeg. Mm-mm, no, that's not a one-nighter. That's a few days, and that's just not something I'd want to do.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I think sometimes, though, it's unavoidable because there are every once in a while those whirlwind relationships.
Mm-hmm.
We're literally like it's be all end all and happens so quickly. And I know sometimes we think that that's what a relationship is, especially when we're in the honeymoon period of it. So,
yeah.
So I guess that does make sense just to take your time and stuff. Although it can make for interesting conversations with the family after the fact.
You know what? I have a new, it's not a new rule, but it's relatively new, like maybe the last 8 months or so. I say, when the honeymoon's over, so are we. I don't want to go through all of that. I know it sounds terrible. Relationship stuff again.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like the monotony. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do that again.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And Christmas is great. Everyone's excited. Everyone's drinking and whatever. But what happens in January? Right? And you wake up from the Christmas haze and you go, I'm not digging you anymore. Then what?
Well, then I guess it starts in a fresh start.
You get a new one.
It's true, because if it's not the right fit, even if you did get together over Christmas and had a beautiful holiday with them, which that does happen too, and honeymoon does die sometimes where it just isn't the right fit. I think in some ways, as long as those conversations do happen, it can be really... Sometimes, of course, there's always pain when there's breakups sometimes, but it can also be really helpful where that person can move on and find somebody else that might be a better fit where they want something similar.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy if both parties understand that.
Mm-hmm.
More often than not, though, they don't. Someone always gets hurt.
That's true. But I think in terms of with relationships, any relationship, there's always a possibility of pain.
True.
Mm-hmm.
True. Very true.
And I think if we go into them, because we never know when we're actually going to fall in love with somebody. Sometimes it happens. Sometimes it's more preempted because, say, for example, we're doing online dating. You can kind of tell who is there for a hookup, who is there for dating, and who is there for long term. It just may not be the right fit. And somebody who may have gone on there where you may be in the category for dating or a hookup, you might fall truly, madly, deeply in love with. And as long as those conversations are there, it's not as the normal, but it does happen sometimes because, as you said, we're human. We're
mm-hmm.
not. And even though we try and be perfect, it doesn't work.
True.
Mm-hmm.
I always say that, like, divorce or breakups, like breaking up is a game of find the lesson.
Hmm.
Right? There is a lesson in every breakup for one party or the other.
And sometimes that's, how would you say in terms of, sometimes we can't see the lesson right away. Like it may be one of those breakups where we didn't see it coming.
Well, you know what? I find that typically we got to get through the emotional stuff. While you're in the emotional stuff, while you're in the, you know, the immediacy of the breakup, you don't see it. You never see it then. You know, you're busy crying and, you know, diving to the bottom of the ice cream pail. You won't see it before you're over that and you look back and go, you know what? He was an asshole. I don't even know why I'm crying. Do you know what I mean? Sorry.
It's true, especially with the ice cream pail. I've been there.
We all have, though.
It is, but sometimes,
right?
I think
it is unavoidable. It doesn't matter who you are.
Mm.
Everybody breaks up, everybody gets dumped, everybody does the dumping, and mm-hmm. everybody gets hurt.
Yeah.
Everyone.
And in regards to that, it's true. And with that, how do we keep ourselves as safe as possible?
I don't think that's possible.
Yeah.
Define safe.
Yeah, there's no such thing, because when you go into a relationship, you risk.
You have no idea.
Yeah.
You have no idea. You start dating someone and you think he's one person or you think she's one person.
Mm-hmm.
And then somewhere along the line, it feels like that person is changing or has changed or whatever. And you kind of go, what the hell?
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's no guarantee.
No. No, there's definitely no guarantees in life or relationships. Sometimes I think we're more careful getting involved with a business relationship than with a potential partner than we are with somebody we're going to invite into our lives and our bodies.
True. As long as that business relationship is not someone that you're also sleeping with.
Yes.
That, not good.
That is true. We could go on a completely different tangent with that. Which
oh, I know. Oh, I know. There's another show topic.
It is. It's a very, very, very interesting show topic. I've actually had a couple shows in the past where we've had couples actually who work together who are also married, which is always a really interesting thing in terms of, and that usually comes down with really strong communication and really strong defined roles, both in the relationship as well as at work.
Well, for sure. The separation, it's kind of like the separation of church and state. Very difficult to separate the two.
Very true. Very, very true. But it's interesting when we look at the origins of marriage, even where a lot of times it was based essentially a business contract where it was binding two families together, whether it was because it was a property line that they wanted to connect and because of that, and other times because of an actual business itself as opposed to just land.
Mm-hmm.
And just almost like the base of marriage. It's interesting. And our Western society, it is all about, where we marry for love, etc. But sometimes I wonder about it just in terms of the foundations, because there's so many divorces these days. And whether or not that is because finally divorce is allowed, because, of course, for a very long time it wasn't. If we go back, like 80 years ago, 100 years ago, it was very different where marriages last longer. But
right. Was
that because of the fact divorce was not, allowed? And even 20 years ago, it was still, people were just starting to get divorced more often, etc. Versus.
Mm. Okay, so here's my question.
Mm.
Getting married when you're, 20 or 25 or whatever, and you have no kids and blah, blah, blah. You're getting married because you want to combine your, you want to start a family. You want to have kids and you want the kids to have the same last name. You want to buy property. You want to start a business. You want to buy houses, blah, 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 that kind of stuff. That's the logical thing to do, right?
Yeah.
But what happens when you don't need those things? What happens after you've been married, you've got the kids, you've got the business, you have the house, you've got the cars, and you get divorced, you've had that life. Do you still marry for love? Do you need to? Do we need to marry for love? Or do we? Is it okay? For some people, they believe in marrying for love. Me, I'm just, I don't know. You know what? I've had the kids, the house, the business, the cars, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I know this is going to sound bad. Don't freak. I don't know if I want a man's underwear on my bathroom floor again.
But I think that's okay, because you know what you want and what you don't want. And
I know I don't want that.
And I think that's where you're at right now, and that's okay. And whether or not, when you're 80 years old, that's what you still want, that's totally cool too. I think whatever we choose is that, and I think it depends on what our definition of marriage is too. Like, whether or not we're still into the whole Cinderella thing where it's the happily ever after, and what is happily ever after, which I think is the definition of what is the aftermath after we get the pretty white dress, etc., after we have the baby and everything. It's like, what is after that? And is marriage companionship?
Mm-hmm.
Is it, because in some ways you are running a household like a business, so it is in a lot of ways where there is a lot of things. Do we have the same value systems, all those things? And if it does fit, because there are some couples who do make it work where they live in different cities sometimes and are together, every other week kind of thing based on their schedules. And there are different types of marriage. So I think it depends on how you define it with whoever you're with.
Mm-hmm. It's funny now how different the definition of marriage or committed relationship is. Mm. Like there, I was talking to a friend who was a builder, and he said now he's building so many houses that have two master suites.
Hmm.
Right? Because the husband and wife each have their own bedroom. They're a happily married couple.
Mm-hmm.
But he's putting two master suites in the same house.
You know what? That actually just makes so much sense. Because even if you think back to the two double beds that used to be in the rooms.
Yep.
It's just now, it's interesting with the building that actually makes me happy that recession-wise that people are able to afford to have two bedrooms. So that's good. I know there's that joke, too, after a certain stage, just because people start to snore, that sometimes that
snore,
can save a kick, marriage as well.
Pull off the blanket.
And sometimes where it's kind of nice, where you have your own separate space, because I think that's really important, too, because sometimes when we get married or in long-term committed relationships, and especially when in families involved, not having your own personal space can just not be the best thing for you in general. And in other ways, it does make us grow because we have to learn to adapt. So it's a fine line where I think there's growth in either space. I think there's growth either way, whether or not it's having our own space where we're able to fill up because we're able to kind of have that downtime to take care of ourselves. I think that's really key.
I want my own bathroom. I don't, you know what I mean? Like I know a lot of women who say, you know what, I want my own bathroom. To hell with the two sinks. I don't want him to have his own sink in my bathroom. He needs to have his own bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I don't want to clean up after anybody else. Right, I'm done. You know, when you're done raising that family, do you want to clean up after anybody else? You know mm-hmm. what? The two master suites, I don't see how it's a bad deal.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
No, I think so. I think it's whatever works for you. I think that's really, really, really key.
I do. I don't think there is any such that. Well, the conventional marriage now mm-hmm. is just kind of fading. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like the basically 2.2 kids, the white picket fence, etc.
Yeah,
what
it is.
We're
hey, whatever
expected.
Works for you.
Mm-hmm. No, very much so, because I know with my partner, I honestly can't imagine actually separate beds. I am actually miserable if we don't spoon the entire night. So. And sometimes when I'm having a really shitty day, it's one of the most beautiful things where if I'm able to come home in between in my crazy life and just hold each other for like 5 or 10 minutes, it helps me fill up again.
Right.
And just kind of gives me that space where I can just go out and kick ass for the rest of the world. So.
Yeah, I hear you. But it's, you know what? You're lucky that you found that person.
Yeah, I am very lucky. He's my life partner. We've only been together for three years, but it's probably the only time I've ever had that where I don't feel itchy to get out of bed because I feel claustrophobic after, mm-hmm. you know, just from cuddling and or somebody sweating on me and I don't want them touching my skin, all those things, or they're snoring and just their breath sometimes, all that stuff. It's just part of everything where I actually don't notice that stuff as much.
Oh, yeah. That's nice.
But I didn't think I was ever going to find that. So, and
yeah.
I think one out of, my 41 years of living, which, wow, I just admitted that on air.
Yeah, but we've talked about this before, too. You don't
look
it. Yes,
we have. That's true, as do you. So we both look beautiful.
We are lucky, touch wood.
Yes.
Oh, shit, sorry.
So what's, just in terms of for Christmasing, holiday season, etc., any other thoughts in regards to just making sure that we're happy, healthy? Because I think a lot of the stuff we've talked about can be, and I think it's great that we can carry this out throughout the whole year, where whether somebody is having sex, hooking up, or just literally meeting the parents or dealing with the crazy in-laws. And actually, I'd love to ask you in regards to any advice in regards to just dealing, especially after divorce, where it's blended family and dealing with ex-in-laws and things like that, as well as the exes. anyone.
I think you just need to put your differences aside for Christmas.
Okay.
Because it's Christmas. I don't care how much alcohol you need to throw back in order to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I think at Christmas time, you just need to put your differences aside. I don't care if it's just for you. Maybe it is you don't speak to your ex at all to avoid a fight. Or, you know what, you just kind of chill out or whatever. Like, it's difficult enough for the kids during Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
It's stressful because the kids are thinking, oh, my God, they're going to be in the same room and there are going to be fireworks. Well, you know what, just don't do it. Don't tangle with it. Don't play the game. Don't, you know what I mean? Just get along for the season.
Yeah. No matter how challenging that can be.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. And I can just hear my kids. I can hear my kids now because I know they're listening. I can hear them saying, "Yeah, right, Mom." But it's you got to get along. It's Christmas. Have some eggnog. Throw some rum in there. Get along.
No, I think that's really, really key.
It is key. I mean, like, in the grand scheme, how difficult is it?
And right? It is just a day or a couple days sometimes.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
You can do it. Not hard. If I can do it, you can do it.
That's true. Just braving it up. So what is next for you? Because I know you just had the workshop on the 12th, and I know you've got other stuff coming up, don't you? Like in regards to any more workshops or anything for...
I don't have any more workshops planned, but I have a few things. I have a few irons in the fire, and I can't really let the cat out of the bag yet, but oh my God, I'm dying to. But I will. As soon as I can, I will.
I love that. Actually, one thing we could do is for those out there who, and let's plug your book, because I think that's really important too, because there are people who are breaking up, and that might be if you've got a friend who's, say, going through some trouble or someone who's listening who may need some help. Those of you who have not read it, she's got a great book. Debbie's got a great book called The Joy Vax that she's written, and it's really awesome. She's also really pragmatic and a wonderful divorce coach as well, if you need some practical advice, as well as just somebody who can help you, just guide you through the process. She's fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
The Kindle version of the book is now available on Amazon, and it's special price for the season at $2.99.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
That's
fantastic. So, I like that.
I was happy about that.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that's great. And so if there is someone, I think that's really, really key. And if someone wants to just hire you personally in terms of as a coach, what's the best way they can reach you?
The best way to reach me is to email me at contact@thejoyofx.net.
That sounds perfect. And I'm just trying to think in regards to some of the holiday things. Just actually, let's just do a really quick top five in regards to most amusing do's and don'ts about doing the pickups.
Oh Lord, the pickups? You mean the hookups?
Yeah, actually, let's do hookups and let's do pickups. So.
Oh, always. Avoid the bad lines.
Yes.
Avoid the bad lines. They're awful, and I don't know, they reek. Avoid the bad lines. Don't be afraid to approach someone, especially at this time of the year. Don't be afraid to approach. Like, people talk about how difficult it is to date. It's really not that difficult. Just wrote an article, The Ten Commandments, The Joy of X is 10 Commandments of Dating. And, I mean, they're actually no-brainers. I mean, don't be afraid to approach someone. Look up, for God's sake. The whole, like, we're so busy on our iPhones and our Blackberries or whatever, we don't look up. We don't notice the other people around us. We don't communicate.
No, we don't at all.
Whatever is on the iPhone or the Blackberry is more interesting than what's, you know, around us in Starbucks or at the library or, you know, at the mall or wherever it is that we happen to be. Don't pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
That would be my second one.
Okay. And, of course, now I want you to share the Ten Commandments of Dating because that's just way too good.
Oh, no. You do not want me to share the Ten Commandments of Dating. Let me see if I can even remember them off the top of my head. I would say looking up at the first one, they are, oh my God, I can't even remember them off the top of my head. I have to actually look at them. I've written so many pieces in the last couple of weeks. It's just been insane. You actually want me to share them? Really?
I would love for you to share them. I think it'd be great.
Okay. Let me just grab my little book, and I will share them with you.
Yay!
Okay. So, this is the Joy of X's 10 Commandments of Dating. Okay. Let me just pull it up here. If it will even communicate with me, it doesn't seem to want to. Come on. There we go. Okay. So it's the Joy of X's 10 Commandments, dating after divorce. It's typically dating after divorce, but I think it applies to just about any dating situation. The first one is, thou shalt not make thy date sit through stories of the ex. This is, you know, with regard to divorce. No one wants to hear stories about how your batshit crazy ex wore rain boots to bed. That's what therapy is for. Talk about new things. Don't talk about the old relationship, either the old ex or the old boyfriend or whatever. Keep that to yourself. The second commandment is, thou shalt not involve the children. Your kids don't want to hear about how great the guy who just brought you home was, or the great girl that their dad is now seeing. Like, that to them is just a signal that you or their dad is moving on, and maybe they're not ready for that. You need to keep that to yourself. The third commandment is, thou shalt date like crazy. I tell this to every single female I bump into. Date as many men as you can. Unless he's got teeth growing out of his shoulders and a hump on his back, date as many men as you can. Give yourself the chance to get to know as many different personalities as possible, so you don't settle for that dude who treats you like a dog and think that you can't do better. Date like mad. Number four is, thou shalt make the first move. Kind of touched on this before. A first move is really nothing more significant than starting a conversation. It's no biggie. A hello, or a how are you, or a how are you doing? You know, for guys, she will usually respond with a smile, or she'll say, I'm good, how are you, whatever. I know lots of women who wait for the man to make the first move, and they generally date less than those who are perfectly fine playing the guy and going for it first. Lots of men like a woman who will take that kind of control. Why should he always have to do all the work? If you want it, I say go for it. Number five is, thou shalt take the time to know thyself before dating again. Whether you're coming out of a dating relationship, or you're divorcing, jumping back into the dating pool simply because your ex is dating doesn't do you or your prospective dates any good. You'll quickly end up visiting the first commandment, dragging your pre-divorce or pre-split-up baggage into your dating life to beat some poor unsuspecting bugger over the head with. Take the time to get over your breakup baggage, figure out who you are. In a way, you kind of have to rewind the clock to look at who you were before you were married or before you started dating that last person. Only then are you somewhat ready to play nice with others. Number six, thou shalt not ditch thy friends in order to date. Do you hear that, girl? Women are the worst at doing it. Men don't do it. If he's hanging out with his friends, he'll work around his dating schedule. But ladies are always breaking plans with girlfriends or altering their schedule to fit in their dating conflict. Why is that?
I think there's a fine line for that, too, because I know I've been guilty of both in the past, where I've been the one who refuses to give any time, because when it came right down to it, I actually didn't want the commitment of a relationship, because I would rather have time for my friends, but yep, wouldn't make the adjustment to have space in my life for a relationship, even though I kept saying that's what I wanted.
For sure.
So there's that too, where I think to have it, you need to, there needs to be that check-in, but there is balance. And I think whenever the honeymoon period is going on, it's really hard to keep that in balance. I almost expect when my friends start seeing someone and it seems serious, I'm not going to see them for 6 months.
Oh, for sure.
That's just normal. But for yeah, sure. And then after that, things start to mellow out.
True. Number seven is, thou shalt not give a damn what others think about your choices. Far too often we put too much stock in what others, like our friends and families, will think about the fact that we're even dating again, or what they think about your latest prospect. Put it aside, use your own best sense, follow your gut. Nothing is better than that.
Mm-hmm.
Thou shalt get a wardrobe inspection. If you haven't been in the dating game for a few years or you've been in a relationship and you haven't really looked outside of that box for a few years, your closet is likely full of styles from God knows when, and you probably have the same do that you had in high school. Giving yourself or getting someone to give you a physical inspection is one of the best tips for dating after being in a long-term relationship or in a marriage. In order to attract others, you have to be somewhat attractive, plain and simple.
Very much so. And feel attractive, regardless whether or not you're just perceived as.
Oh, for sure.
But as
for
well,
sure.
You have to actually believe that to you, about yourself, too.
For sure. Number 9, thou shalt be the person you want to date. It sounds a bit self-centered, but let me try to explain delicately. Humans are visual beings for the most part, especially the men. If you won't date a woman who has a third trimester beer gut, you shouldn't have one either, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that if you don't want to, and I mean, I run into this in dating all the time. I have someone who is, let's say, heavier than I'm used to dating, who, you know, will make some kind of motion that he is attracted to me. And when I say, you know what, you're not really my type, he gets all pissed off. Right? But he's not going after someone who looks like him.
Yeah.
Right? Not fair. Not fair. I'll leave that one there. And number 10 is, like I said before, thou shalt look up. Look up. And I'm guilty too, right? I see people crossing the street. They're texting, right? How are you texting in the middle of the road? They come in and, you know, they come into Starbucks and rather than ordering their coffee right away, they've got their face in the iPhone. Look up. You have no idea who's passing you or who you're passing because your face is in the iPhone, right?
That's true. So you may actually walk past somebody who's supposed to be for you.
Absolutely.
And just
how do you
not
know that
them?
Girl's not trying to get your attention? You're not paying attention. So that's it. Those are the 10 commandments of dating.
I like that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for letting me share them.
Well, I think they're very valuable, and especially if you've just gotten out of a relationship and you're getting back in, because how are you supposed to know what you like unless you get to know people? And
exactly.
At the beginning, everything's going to feel weird, because I know whenever I've come out of a long-term relationship, kissing somebody new it feels wrong. It feels disloyal. And it takes a while to be comfortable again. And it's really hard at the beginning. And then it gets really fun. And
yes,
then from there.
Sorry.
That's right. Your girls are listening to this, aren't they?
Yeah, so. No kidding. They know me, though. It's not a surprise. They know me.
And I love that. So. And it's
oh,
beautiful
funny.
That you have the awesome relationships. So,
yeah, they're good girls.
Which is very cool.
Oh, yeah, that's about it.
I think so, too. And we are actually just thank you so much for being on the show tonight.
Oh, thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And let's just get you to plug your website one more time so everybody can get a copy of your book for Christmas. And especially if it's on for Kindle for so little, but as well if they want to get a hard copy as well, it's nice.
Yeah, the Kindle version is $2.99, and I recently found out that I don't have to have a Kindle. Like I got the Kindle app on my iPhone.
That's right. I remember that. I my business coach was telling me about that.
Yeah, and on my Android, I have the Kindle. I thought I had to go buy an actual Kindle, but you don't.
Mm-mm.
So yeah, you can download it on Amazon. It's $2.99. Until the middle of January.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I love it.
That's so good. Thank you.
And the website is thejoyofx.ca or thejoyofx.net.
That's perfect. Debbie, thank you so much.
No, thank you.
Thank you. Up
All
next
right.
is Hans von Claus's Misery Hour. Actually, I'm announcing the wrong show, His Real World, and that's his new show that he's doing, and he will be on very, very, very soon, and he's always got the sexiest shoes, and he hasn't walked into the studio yet, so I haven't had a chance to check him out. But until next week, we will be back at the sexy hour of 10 o'clock. Until then, that will be your next edition of Sexy in Van City Radio. Have a great night, everyone. Bye-bye.